Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Paradigm Shifters. And who are Paradigm Shifters? To me, they're beings who are making a huge difference in the collective, the changing waves of the collective on our planet. We're all evolving, and they're really helping us out. And today we have a special Paradigm Shifter named Donna Eden. Welcome, Donna.
Hi, thank you.
And Donna's quite a feisty pioneer of energy medicine, has really created waves in our understanding about subtle energy and energy medicine and how it can change our, well, something you wrote on your website I'm thinking I love, which is it can change our approach to the healthcare system instead of it being so expensive just to run that technical system. We can do a lot with subtle energy, can't we?
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. I mean, the whole world, everybody on this planet needs energy medicine because for so many reasons, but one of the reasons is that most people in this world can't even afford to be healed. Well, energy is free. You know, it's free. That means you learn this and you have tools for the rest of your life that you can use to heal yourself or your family. Just empower yourself in the face of Western medicine.
Isn't that amazing? I remember once I was visiting a friend who was having seizures, and she was pregnant, and they were just, as I walked in, they were doing an electroencephalogram. Anyway, The machine went wonky, you know, because I also do energy, and the machine went crazy around me. I thought that was, they kicked me out, but she laughed a lot and felt better because it was so fun to have that experience. But when did you start knowing about energy? Were you born like that, or did it just really happen to you?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, it never occurred to me that energy was something you didn't know about. That was just what was natural, what was normal. I think many other things in this world were not normal to me, but energy was normal. And I think most people, when they're born, energy is what is normal. Have you ever picked up a baby and they're looking all around your head, but they're not looking at you? I mean, they're looking at your aura. We all can see energy when we're born, but if you happen to be born into a family or into a culture where nobody talks about energy, it tends to go dormant by the time you're a year old. And then,
how tragic, eh?
Yeah, it is tragic. But what I have seen over and over again is people, when they get into energy medicine or some form of energy healing, which is all energy medicine, often they begin to see energy again. So it's there just lying dormant in you.
Did you have encouragement in your family to keep open to it, or did you have to?
Yes, yes, I had a mother who, you know, she was an orphan herself who was never adopted. And most people think that that's a tragedy, but I think she always felt, and I certainly do, that there was a blessing in that because nobody told her that that was not natural. She just thought this was what everybody did, was they saw energy and interpreted life by what they saw and what they felt. And so that's what she passed on to her kids. And so all three of the kids and I, my brother and my sister and myself, all see energy. And it was because it was never allowed to go dormant. She just kept it alive by asking constantly, you know, what color do you see around that person? That kind of talk.
Oh, that's wonderful. So did you know when you were little, I mean, when you became, because you're really quite the aficionado on this subject, aren't you? I mean, you really covered very many aspects of it.
Who knows? But I do know I was in my 20s before I knew that the whole world didn't see energy.
Hmm.
I thought everybody did. It was what was our most natural thing, and I really went into shock when I found out other people didn't see.
Isn't that interesting?
Hmm. Yeah.
So what did you become in your 20s? Did you become an energy worker at that point, or did you do other things?
How I found out was that I was married one time before my first husband. I'm married the second time now, but my first husband was going to put me into a mental institute for talking about this and embarrassing him in front of his friends when I would talk about the color I saw around somebody or something. And so the threat was, if I ever said that out in public again, I would be put into an institution. And in the state of California in those days, in the late 60s, early 70s, it was legal for any husband to be able to commit his wife without even a doctor's okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember those times.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And those
scary,
were the days.
Isn't it? It's very scary, hey?
It was very scary. I mean, it had a lot to do with finally divorcing him.
You know? Well, remember, you know, the movie Girl Interrupted, I just sort of resonate with just what you're saying in that movie, you know?
Oh, yes.
But so you had the strength of character to get out of the situation and still pursue your...
Well, it was my most natural thing. I knew it was the one thing that you couldn't... There was no equivocation about it. You didn't know it. You always knew this was true. This was what was true. And so to be married to somebody who, I shouldn't say this on the radio, but he was both a Republican and he didn't believe in color seeing, it scared me.
It's a black and white Republican.
Yes. And in those days, I equivocated that with... If you couldn't see energy, you were a Republican, and then I found out that everybody couldn't, and it was a stunner.
So this is your political reshaping. I can see it now.
Yes.
So let's talk about. See, I want to talk about you because it's
okay.
Just so exciting. And I read some of your husband's pillars of.
Oh yes.
What is it?
Pillars.
Called?
I don't. Is it Pillars of Energy Medicine or Pillars?
Yeah,
of...
Six Pillars of Energy Medicine.
Yes. Yes.
With your website and his knowing, it's very exciting to think that both of you are like pillars of energy medicine.
Oh.
What is that? Well, it's encouraging for us all who are living in the state of dissonance at times.
Mm-hmm.
But can you tell us about some incidences or some examples of people who have been healed, or? You know, who have been changed by using energy medicine.
Oh, my goodness. That used to be, when I had my practice for 23 years, that was an ongoing occurrence. In the town that I lived in, Ashland, Oregon, doctors referred people to me when they came to a dead end, when somebody wasn't healing, because the body always wants to heal. It knows how to heal. It's just that we've gotten out of resonance with our body's energies. We are not in harmony any longer because the world we evolved to live in ceased to exist about 100 years ago. You know, maybe a little bit more when things became technological. Suddenly, you know, we don't go by our natural rhythms. We go by the clock or the watch on our wrist. And so, I mean, the first person I can tell you about is myself. I got into this because it healed me. I mean, I didn't know that there was anything I could do with energy. I just thought it was what was. It was what is there. But when I got very sick and I had a lot of different ailments from when I was a little girl, tuberculosis, and then I was allergic to everything under the sun. And then I got multiple sclerosis at 16. Mm. And then I had a heart attack at 27.
Oh my.
I had extreme asthma and my body was simply breaking down. And I've always thought that the best thing that ever happened to me, other than having my two daughters, was the best thing was that Western medicine gave up on me. And when they gave up on me, that was when I found out that I could use this awareness of energy that I had to begin to heal myself, because I knew there was no hope outside myself, so I had to heal me. And what was remarkable was, I think, is that it was not nearly as hard as people would think it would be. I mean, I wasn't walking for much of 2 years. At my worst point, my legs didn't walk anymore, mm-hmm. and I was numb all over my body. It buzzed. You know, when your feet fall asleep or your hand falls asleep, mm-hmm. my entire body was asleep like that and buzzed, and I couldn't use my hands or my fingers at all. Mm. And my legs didn't walk. And so when Western medicine gave up on me, I healed myself. Mm. And that's how I got into my work. It's like, when you know something, when you figure something out, I mean, you want to share it with the entire world. Oh, my God, you guys don't have to be in this box that you think you're in. There is a way out. Let me show you. And that's how it began.
Tell me this. Why do you think that you got so many illnesses?
When I was born, well, actually, I've never said this before. I'm going to say it to you right now.
Thank you.
When my mother was giving birth, I do know the beginning was the doctor was gone somewhere, who knows, and the nurses freaked out because something, she was having some real troubles, whatever, and maybe they were beginning nurses, who knows, but they tied her legs together.
Oh, my.
And she almost died. My father literally broke down the door to get in the room when he saw she was dying. I almost didn't live that first year of life. And then in that first year, I had a very high fever. And they say I burned off the ability to make three enzymes. And those three enzymes are the enzymes that are able to digest and metabolize foods that grow out of the ground.
Pretty significant.
Yes. I mean, it was very significant because fruits and vegetables that are meant to make people healthy were like poisons in my body because my body couldn't break them down. Mm-hmm. So if I ate fruits and vegetables, I ended up in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
My body then got tuberculosis, because tuberculosis is a disease often of either extreme exhaustion but also not eating the right foods. My mother did everything she could to help me eat the right foods, but my body wouldn't metabolize them. So from eating fruits and vegetables, I got very sick. And so that was the beginning. And then being allergic to everything. I remember when I was the worst I was, it kept getting worse and worse over the years. And I remember at 29, the only thing I could eat without having an extreme allergic reaction was red meat.
Hmm.
You know, and that throws everybody off because they didn't know what to do with you when this was your truth.
You didn't fit anybody's paradigm.
Yeah, I didn't. And again, that was another gift, that I didn't fit the paradigm, because you had to figure it out then. There was no guidelines. There was nothing. But the fact that I could see energy helped. I always felt it, but seeing it, I began to link up the energies in my body, because I wanted to live to raise two daughters, and I didn't want anyone else raising them, and I knew I was supposed to. So that was the beginning. And
so when you say linking up the energy, so if you can see energies, how would a person translate that for themselves? Like,
well, okay, here's a way that everybody on this planet can make sense of this. The very, very first thing I did was, okay, my thighs, from hip to knee didn't work. That was my worst part of my body that wouldn't work. So I remember laying my hands at the very top of my legs and my other hands at right below my knees. And I held them from between about 3 and 5 minutes, and I could feel the energy start to link. You could feel it. And other people I have told to do that, they will always invariably say, oh, my God, after about 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, I could feel it. Something was moving. So your own energies, the energies on your hands are electromagnetic. So if you align your energies anywhere in your own body or on somebody else's, the energy will connect and start, and the energy of the other person or the energy of yourself will start following like a magnet and connect up with where your other hand is. And it's kind of magical, except that it isn't magic. It's what is natural. We've just gotten so far away from what is really natural and what our bodies can do. And so, you know, I just began participating with the life force inside of me, and I healed myself.
So you must have been very determined. Of course, it was life and death by then, huh?
And it was. And it was also even more than death. It was two things, though. One was I didn't want anyone else raising my kids but me. I knew I was their perfect mother. And the other thing was, well, isn't this silly that I've been told this is it? I was actually told by 5 different doctors. I went to different doctors getting another opinion that, you know, that my systems were breaking down so fast that I wouldn't be around. The longest lifespan I had at that time was 3.5 to 5 years. The shortest was less than a year, and 2 of the doctors gave me that. And I thought it was silly. I don't know what came over me. I wasn't even worried. I thought, well, this is stupid. I can get myself well, and that's I'm sure was very helpful.
Wasn't it hard for you to have babies?
Oh, thank you for, oh my God, nobody's asked me this either.
And how old, did you have the babies before this 29-year-old turning?
Yes, but I already had MS, and the first child was, they gave me an operation at 4 months pregnant because they said I'd never carry her, but not because of anything that was wrong with me, but they said my uterus was upside down and there's no way she'll survive and how in the world did I even get pregnant. And so they gave me an operation in the middle of the pregnancy to turn that uterus around. She came early. She was very early, but she was very healthy. And one of the things is, and I've heard from other MS people that it's the same thing, whatever it is in pregnancy that happens, pregnancy is very healthy for some autoimmune illnesses.
Uh-huh. It's like heard that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And my body, for the first time in years, I was unbelievably healthy. My legs walked. My body was healthy. I felt I could go for hours without ever taking a breath, it felt like. So pregnancy was really good for me. But then I had several miscarriages between my first and my second. I couldn't carry my second because my body simply wouldn't carry it. They said it had to do with my uterus. Now I am sure it had to do with much more than that. So I had an operation to turn my uterus around and stabilize it. And then I had my second baby. And because pregnancy was so great for me, I had no problem. It's just when I'd get out of pregnancy that my body would return to what it had known. So.
How old were your children when you were 29 and had that huge?
I got to remember. The oldest was 4, and the youngest was 2.
Oh my! So it wasn't that long before your big crisis.
No, I was in real trouble, and it was one of those things that you have to forgive yourself for not being able to take care of your kids well during a time when you're really struggling and not knowing if you're going to even make it, you know. But anyway, it's really good. Thank God I was their mother.
And also, I'm sure they say the same thing. And what about the MS? It's not there anymore, is it?
It is not there at all.
Okay.
And I can tell you another thing. Western medicine, and by the way, I mean, there's a lot good about Western medicine. I mean, so many great things. You know, if you have an accident, there's no better place to be than somebody in Western medicine. But they are the first to admit, if they will admit, when somebody is willing to admit, they will be the first to say they know nothing about autoimmune illnesses.
Right.
They don't, because it's about your energy. Mm-hmm. It's about energies turning against you. And why is that happening? And why it's happening is because we evolved for this world we didn't evolve to live in. And so suddenly we have things in our environment bombarding our cells nonstop. And we have got to get in alignment with our energy so that that won't happen anymore, so that you can adapt or throw off anything that comes your way. And so there is nothing in this world that touches energy medicine for autoimmune illnesses, especially.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. what you just said is that, so how can we start, how can people start to, give us some experiences that people listening right now can start to really enhance their rate of knowing their own energy.
Oh, you know, there are so many things that, I have never met anyone in my whole life who wasn't a healer. Everybody is. We carry it forth in our DNA, in our bones, in our energy systems, a knowing from millions of years ago when we had to heal ourselves in order to survive. That was the only thing going. You know, you had to rub yourself or find a way to move the energy because there was nothing else. I mean, long before we figured out the herbs in the ground, we knew our energy. You know, we were not attuned to things outside ourselves as much as to ourselves. And so you could hear what the body was saying to you. And there are so many instincts that people do all the time that are about healing. Like, for instance, have you ever thrown your hand up to your forehead and said, oh, my God? Your hand just automatically goes up there when you're stressed.
That's
it. Yeah, well, that is an instinct from millions of years ago, because when you get stressed, you lose blood from your forebrain. Mm-hmm. Blood goes into your body for the fight or flight or freeze response, you know, to run away from the danger, beat somebody up, or stand there frozen so nobody will know you're there, sort of invisible. And when the blood goes into your body, you don't have all the blood in your forebrain to even think your way out of a paper bag.
Right.
And so, but if you throw your hands up to your forehead and keep them there, don't take them away, but keep your hand there, you will start drawing the blood back up into the forebrain because your hand is electromagnetic. It draws the blood back up. There are so many things like that that the body does instinctually. In fact, many times I will teach a class. I mean, all my classes are about demonstrating on people what their body knows how to do. And I will demonstrate it and show it and bring people up on stage that have, that, you know, are either ill in some way or weak in some way, or they can't get their vitality back, or they can't get out of depression, or whatever it is. I will show them the way. And it isn't because I'm such a miracle worker. It's because I tapped into it when I was so sick and found it again. But it's there for everybody.
But the wonder of what you did is really inspiring, because, like you say, we can all do it, but it's actually trusting.
That's right.
Those impulses in you and what you...
That's right. And because, and the you know, it's a sad thing that in the world we have all grown up in, we have not been taught to trust our natural energies.
Yeah. Au contraire, right?
Au contraire, that's right. But our energies know how to adapt if we can get in harmony with our energies again. And that's what's happened to me. I am far healthier than I was 30 years ago. And the truth is, what you want is to have your body be more vital and alive as you grow older, not start breaking down and falling apart. You want to, and it is not at all that things still can't happen to me. Things can throw me off, but I know immediately what to do to get myself back in harmony. And it's just like, I don't know, tapping into it so easily now. It, I don't know, life gets better the older you get, and that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, that's not exactly a common thread of thought that comes out.
No, it isn't.
Tell me, Donna, what's the source of this energy?
Oh, well, first of all, energy is the life force. It is the life force. So this is an amazing, astounding, mind-blowing intelligence that is far more intelligent than your intellect. And that's what people aren't taught from early on. It's like it when you're alive, this energy flows through you and keeps you alive and makes all the organs work inside your body. And without it, you're dead. You know, once the energy leaves, you're gone. You're dead.
And I want to take this minute and say to people who are listening, to check into www.innersource.com and
.net.
Innersource.net. Sorry. This is Donna's website, but what I really love, I love your website, and I haven't read every single bit of it, but I've sure read a lot of it. And what I love are the videos of you showing, I mean, the very stuff you're talking about, people can actually get glimpses of through the videos that are on your website.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission to make energy medicine as available and as accessible to as many people as I possibly can, because we will all benefit when everybody in this world feels empowered to take care of themselves and not give up their choices to any other kind of medicine. And that doesn't mean that Western medicine isn't good, but you will have a choice. You will know, hey, this is something I can take care of, or this is something where I need to reach out to somebody else. And maybe you will reach out to somebody in an alternative field other than Western medicine, but you will know, and it just makes us all smarter and wiser and thrilled about our own processes and amazing we are.
And that takes me to psychology, because we've got a major depression in this country alone, let alone. Now, can you talk a little bit about energy medicine and that, or aberrative things like schizophrenia or ADD?
Yes. Well, first of all, you know, I'm going to try to say this as succinct as I can. If you are, for instance, depressed, your energies are what I call homolateral. The energies aren't crossing over anymore, not just from the right hemisphere to the left side of the body and the left to the right, but in all sorts of patterns down to your DNA, the energies are not crossing over well. And so then you are stuck. You are caught in a trap of the energy not moving and lifting you up and out. So the best way of getting out of depression is to work with energy, not with some medication that might in the long run either addict you to that medicine or confuse the body so it can't get free.
Right. It literally catches you and puts you in some place.
That's exactly right. It's like, again, I just want to say over and over again, the body knows how to heal itself. And if you align yourself and start learning, the simplest little things will help move you out of the trap.
Just a sec, your phone is kind of popping in and out. Are you on a cell phone or a...
No, I'm not, but I'm in Mexico.
Oh,
so,
well, I'm feeling that wonderful tropical energy, so we'll just take that on.
Okay.
And what about, like, because when you say this, I think the really exciting thing about energy medicine is that we don't always realize how it can actually physically affect, like, broken parts. So, like, maybe if there's brain damage and so on.
Oh, yes. You know, we have a certification program now where people are learning, really taking on all the skills and learning them. And it's a 2-year certification program where they go 4 times a year and then practice and do the stuff at home. But I was just at the graduation last month, and it was just mind-boggling and thrilling. One woman who had come 2 years ago in a wheelchair, never expected to walk again, is running in a marathon this month in about 2 weeks.
No way.
Yes.
Wow.
And another woman was on a liver transplant list, and she doesn't need it anymore.
Wow.
I mean, this is, energy is your body's best medicine. It's the oldest, it's the most organic, it's the most natural medicine with absolutely no side effects. Mm-hmm. And if you learn this, you will have tools for the rest of your life. And, you know, it ought to be not only accessible through somebody else helping you, and sometimes we always need somebody else to help us, but most of the time you can help yourself. And it's wonderful to know you can take away your pain or your flu or anything that is...
Can you talk about pain for us?
Yeah, oh my goodness, yes. Pain is usually a symptom of too much energy congested in a particular part of your body. too much energy. So you want to know how to move it out of that area of your body. And there are great, great tools. I don't know if it's kosher. Do I get to say the name of my book so people can look in the book?
You certainly
Energy.
Can.
Oh, good.
Anything that you're doing is wonderful.
Okay. Energy medicine. There's an entire chapter on pain. There's an entire chapter on real heavy-duty illnesses, an entire chapter on electromagnetic occurrences, like some people are really, really sensitive to the electromagnetics in our culture, from electricity to fluorescent lights to whatever, and how to deal with that and how to see the symptoms of what that's about and how to move it out. And it's just everything, how to keep your vitality more alive, and if you've lost your energy, what to do about it. So that book is Energy Medicine.
Great. I'm going to get it. So going back to pain, so people who are in dire and repeated chronic pain, we can work with that with energy
yes, absolutely you can work with it. And you can take away pain. It's been at least 27 years since I've even had an aspirin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like your body, again, if everybody can hear, your body knows how to heal itself. Now, sometimes the body will have a chronic pain, and chronic pain is a symptom of the body is misfiring. It no longer needs the message of pain to get you out of some troubling part, something troubling going on in your body. It doesn't need that message, and yet the pain is going on. And that's a great example of energy getting all scrambled and nuts. And if you unscramble the energy fields and help the energy to flow, you will not have that chronic pain anymore. You know, in my practice, when I used to have a practice, and I had one for 23 years, my deal with people, with every single person, I had a very full practice, was no one ever had to pay me if it didn't work.
Oh, wow.
And I never had anybody not pay me.
That's your health insurance.
Yes.
I'm interested also, I'm interested in every aspect of this, but one of the things that we're seeing as a collective dysfunction or mutation is ADD and ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
Can you make a comment about, or even teach us how to, because I think some of it is point of view, or sometimes it's the way we see things, or what can you say about all that?
Yes, ADD and ADHD, a hyper energy. I mean, part of it, I really do believe, because in my practice I saw this so often, that the environment around us, whether it's all of the unnatural environment, and there are literally thousands of additives in our foods. Thousands! I think my husband found out that there was something like 17,000 different additives that they can put in your food.
Oh, my Lord.
Which is huge. And every square inch of our atmosphere is now filled with electromagnetics that were man-made. Mm. I mean, these things are bombarding our children as well as the adults. But with children, it's like they aren't completed. They are growing and evolving their own bodies, and to have to deal with those things that are unnatural, it's like that's what I see as the major reason. And so what I do is I always teach kids a 5-minute routine that if they will do once or twice a day, they will start keeping it under control. Now, for some kids, like I would say 60, 70% of them, they really want to do it every day because they get empowered and find out how much their lives start working and how much they can learn better in school. And
is that the 5-minute video that you have on your website?
I think it's on the website. In the book, there's a 5-minute. It's all laid out in the book, but I think it's on the website as well.
I'm going to get the book anyway, but it's clear in the book. And is it designated for kids, or is it also for?
No, it's just called a 5-minute exercise. But I can promise you, one of my great loves of my life for 25 years, I volunteered my time in the school systems to help with kids because I just had such a strong desire to not see kids get on medications. And at that time, I don't know if they're doing it less now, but at that time they were really giving kids a lot of medicines in the school system to keep them from being, you know, all of whatever was the name they put on the things for being too hyper and alert and overwhelmed and not being able to do their studies with ADD, I guess, and ADHD. They gave them medications. And so I, in every school system that I ever went to, they cut that back drastically, at least by 50%, that they didn't use them anymore because kids found that it was such an empowering thing to find that they could move their energy. And usually those kids, by the way, could feel the energy moving in their body. Mm-hmm. And so often that they not only feel the energy in their bodies, but they were so hypersensitive that they could feel the energies in other kids' bodies. So that it was just that they were spiraling in a field that was just not at all in harmony with the American school system. You know?
But when you helped them, were they released and empowered in terms
yes,
of
even yes,
in the
absolutely.
American school system?
Yes. I'll tell you a great story. I used to go into this school called the Children's School in San Diego, California, when I was there for a couple of years, and one particular branch of the school was for kids who had quote learning disabilities or who were HDD or HD. I don't remember the initials now. Are those the initials? HDD.
ADHD, probably.
ADHD. Okay. And so this one woman I remember so well. This teacher had 36 kids who were ADHD.
Oh, great.
Can you imagine? and the schools at that time were losing their funding, and there was only her. She had no help. And I went in twice a week to try to help her, and it always seemed to help while I was there, but she couldn't hold on to it. So I was trying to figure out, how could I help them remember this and do this? And one day they figured something out on their own. I was walking past their window, their classroom window, and I saw the teacher see me, and she said, "She's coming, class, she's coming." And I went around the bend and came down the hallway and came into the classroom, and all of the kids, what I just said a little while ago about throwing your hand up to your forehead mm-hmm. when you get stressed, well, every one of the kids had placed both of their hands, the pads of their fingers of both hands, on the forehead of another person, and they made a snake throughout the room of holding the person in front of them, mm-hmm. and you could have heard a pin drop.
Oh, my.
Because not only did it calm them all, but it was so thrilling and empowering. After a while, if you put your, you should do this. Mm-hmm. Hold on, do this yourself. Hold on to somebody else's forehead lightly, and you'll begin, after a time, you can feel the pulsing of the blood beating in their forehead. Mm-hmm. And it's an amazing thing to begin to feel the energies that move through us and to help somebody out of stress.
And so you just put your fingers on right in the center of the forehead?
No, it's on right above the eyes, right above both eyes. There are two. For many people, it kind of protrudes a little bit there,
right.
And that's those are the points. And I'm sure that our ancestors knew about them well, or we wouldn't be throwing our hands up there now, you know. And if you put only one hand up there, it'll still work. If you put one hand in back and one hand in the back of your head, you know, you will find yourself breathing deeper. You will find yourself just the next time you are in stress, hold yourself, your forehead and the back of your head. Hmm. And I guarantee you will start feeling better because
so
the blood, is coming up into your forebrain again. That's really, really exciting. And so you can do it on little children or...
Yes.
These are things you can teach a little wee person, right?
You can... Oh, children learn it so fast because they have better feedback systems. Mm-hmm. They're not so far away from what is natural. Mm-hmm. So it's a very easy thing to teach children. And you can also... One of the things that kids love to do is energy test their parents on what foods and vitamins are good for them. Because, you know, I teach energy testing to teach, to be able to know what is good for you to take into your body. And it's one thing, and kids don't often like to listen to that if they want to eat whatever they want to eat. But if you teach the kids, then, oh, my God. They respond so fast because they get feedback and they love knowing that, oh, my God, I don't want that anymore. And then they begin to test their parents and tell their parents, you can't eat that. You can't drink that beer or you can't, you know, because it's really bad for you.
Is it a kinesiology thing? Is it a muscle?
Yes, it's a kinesiology thing, a very simple kinesiology test of pulling the arm out from the side of the body, and it tells you how you will metabolize food or vitamins or drink or whatever.
Oh, that's great. Now, I want to ask you something about energy and things like aging, brains, and dementia and all of that. Is that...
Oh, that's a... Thank you. Good questions. That's really important. I've worked... And before my book ever came out in my practice, I worked with a lot of people who were getting older and who were getting scared that, you know, is this dementia? Is this Alzheimer's? Is this, you know, I'm scared. My memory is going. Well, most of the time, even when somebody is older, you can help their memory come back. What you want is to get the energy flushing through their brain, through their skull, because what happens as you get older, especially if you're not very mobile and you're not exercising as much or whatever, the energy, or maybe you've had a chronic neck thing where your neck is tight, whatever it is, over many, many years, the body learns patterns and you quit flushing oxygen and energy and cerebrospinal fluid through your skull and through your brain. And when you are not flushing those, your memory doesn't work as well. Mm-hmm. And also, your brain begins to age because it's not rejuvenated with energy and oxygen and cerebrospinal fluid. And cerebrospinal fluid is the fluid that pumps up from your spine. It's meant to be in both your spine and up in through your brain. But it slips back in the spine much of the time when there's any blocks in your body and the energy isn't flowing. So there are just some very simple ways to get the energy flowing up through your skull again.
And so what if somebody's already got, let's TIAs or something?
I have never met anybody in my life that could not make any situation better. Hmm. Not anybody. I also know that if they're in a very far, really bad trouble with whatever illness or disease or dementia going, then it's a longer road to hoe. But I used to do volunteer work at a senior citizen's home many, many years ago because I was always just wanting to turn everybody onto this. Now, when I said yes, that I agreed to this job, I thought it was a senior citizen's home. I don't know. I thought they were around 55, 65. Mm-hmm. Well, the youngest person was 84.
Oh, wow.
And they ranged from 84 to 103.
Great.
And they were 27 of them. And I had to learn so much on them, but I am grateful every day of my life for that group that I decided not to run away from because I was so scared because I had to learn everything anew. They weren't at the place in their life where they wanted to bring all of their vitality and aliveness back. They wanted more empowerment. They wanted to be able to control their pain, and they wanted to be able to think well.
Mm-hmm.
That was the three things they wanted. And the first time I was there, every one of them fell asleep on me but one. And I was like, quite a wake-up call for me.
Sounds like a wake-up call for them, yeah.
Yes. But I just learned on them. I learned, one man had a stroke a couple of years before, and he couldn't move one side of his body, and so he couldn't do any of the energy routines I was teaching, and he was in despair about it. So I set him in front of a mirror, and I said, pretend. You know, you can see the rest of us doing it in the mirror. Pretend your body is doing that. Just pretend. And that's what he did. And in time, that other side of the body started kicking in,
wow.
Started moving the energy, so that in about 7 months' time, he could move all that side of his body that he was told he would never be able to move again.
Mm.
I had started in about February, and the following December, every single person who was considered to have dementia or Alzheimer's didn't.
Wow.
They could all think again, and they all made tapes for Christmas for their great-grandchildren and their families so that they would know their stories and leave them when they did die. It wasn't that they didn't think they were going to die. They were all pretty sure they would, you know, but they didn't want to die in this despairing, decrepit way. They wanted to be alive and just die in their sleep.
This is charged subject. It's a very wonderful subject. And
yeah,
just thinking as you talk that the actual process of dying, I mean, to use energy when someone's dying.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best. And that's another thing I learned. When somebody was really dying and they were on their deathbed, what to do and how to help somebody. Just let go. Many, many people, you know, I there was a man who was about, I think he was 101, and he was dying. But he called. He asked him to call me in because he didn't want to have morphine. He wanted to stay alert because he'd finally gotten his memory back.
Oh, wow.
And he wanted to know the process of dying. He didn't want to be put out with morphine.
Wonderful.
And so that's what I did. I came in, and it was such an amazing experience for me. I think some of these dying processes were so extraordinary for me that I've been changed for life.
And you have a book on that too, don't you?
Actually, David has a book on that.
Okay.
And my husband, David Feinstein, has a book on he was really very much into the dying process, which I hopefully influenced some.
I'm sure anyway, we'll talk about him another time. Maybe we'll interview him. But then people
yes,
look
you
on
ought
your,
to. He's great on this.
And when people look on your website, they'll see this. I want to talk a little bit, because we're almost at the end of our time, about relationship and love, talking about you and David, but other people.
Oh, yes. Let me take a drink here.
I hope it isn't tequila.
No!
Talk about energy.
No, it's just water.
Okay.
That's a wonderful subject, because down the road, I'm hoping I'm going to teach a full class, like a week class, or at least a weekend class on just relationships, because before the book came out and we went on the road, David and I taught a lot of classes on relationships. He and I did it together. Because there is no way on earth he and I would have survived as a couple had we not understood energy, because we were so incompatible in the way of how we did things. It's true. We are the couple who would have had to have gotten a divorce, because you couldn't be in your fullness of who you were with each other. But we figured out energy, and we are the most compatible couple in the world now, and we've been together 31 years.
Great stuff.
And we are fabulous together, and we are utterly and completely different. But those differences are the very thing that make our relationship fabulous now and make it really harmonized. They were the very things that made us incompatible at another time. So we teach energy medicine things for couples and relationships, whether it's your children and you, or your boss and you, or a friend and you, or your mate and you.
Can you give us a little sampler before we end up going?
Oh, okay. Let me see. There are different ways that all human beings energetically deal with stress. And you are more likely to deal with stress energetically different than your mate. So that suddenly, if you're in a real heavy-duty argument, you will wonder who this person is. It's like they came from truly from a different planet. It's like you can't cross over. You can't connect. You can't make that person understand what you're saying. They can't hear you. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
I sure do, yeah. Like, who are they?
Well, we teach ways to energetically cross over. Forget it psychologically, because that's going to keep you trapped, because we evolved to be able to win psychologically. That's how we evolved, to be able to survive. It was psychologically winning and having more power than the other person. But you really win when you start dealing with it energetically. Because, man, you both end up the winners, and you see what the other person meant and both ways. And suddenly you can find yourself laughing in a situation that was just taking you to the divorce courts. And it's really wonderful. David and I taught a class many years ago, right at the time we were going to leave our hometown, because we were going to go on the road for a short period of time. And, well, we've just been out there for 9.5 years now. And we taught a class for free to the entire town, several weeks long, twice a week in the evenings. Come with your mate, especially if you think you're going to divorce that mate. Come, and we won't ever try to psychologize you or anything like that. It's just to give you some energy tools. And it's such a joy to still walk down the street in Ashland, Oregon, and have people say, "We're still together, but God, we're so good together now." It's
the whole town stayed married because of you. Isn't that exciting? Yeah, I really believe in that. That's really amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's the best. Just the best.
And unfortunately, because you are very, very inspiring and fascinating, and I'm rushing off to get the book. And I've really enjoyed what I read on your website, and again, how I saw your videos and everything you talked about today.
Thank you. You're a wonderful interviewer. This was fun.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Donna.
Okay. Thank you.
Many blessings, and keep changing the world. It's working.
Okay. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye now. So that was Donna Eden, and I really recommend her book, Energy Medicine. I work with a lot of that kind of stuff, but, boy, she really has a sureness and the research behind her. And, boy, I'm going to get that book and go through the experiences with kids. And a lot of seniors, I've seen a lot of older people lately who are needing that inspiration to be self-empowered as they get older. And, of course, in between the kids and the seniors, you have everybody else. And, actually, it's a great way to get past the medical system, isn't it? I hope I'm not going to get in trouble for saying that. This is Veronica Entwistle, and I've so enjoyed Donna Eden. What an inspiring woman. If you go on her website, you'll see writings from her husband, David Feinstein, as well, and they work as quite the team. And this is Veronica Entwistle. I've had a blast today. I've really enjoyed talking about you and subtle energy and being very inspired by Donna Eden and knowing we can energize and empower our lives for the sake of our evolution, for the sake of our passage, even, you know, our dying, for the sake of our relationships. It sounded like using energy, and I believe this myself, but I haven't done as much research and having like real examples of this. You can use energy with every level of illness and limitation, and that's something I'm really going to explore more of. I'm sure a lot of you are too, because it certainly is in your back pocket, and you don't have to buy it. You might want to take one or two or three of her courses, because that would certainly be helpful, wouldn't it? And again, we talked about relationships, and she spoke of, or I did an exercise at the end of Radiance by Design on relationship and arguing energetically. I would really encourage you to do that. And she spoke as well of being able to change the outcome of dissonances or difficulties or, in quotes, incompatibility in relationships using energy. So let's talk about that further. Thank you so much for listening to tonight's Paradigm Shifter. Much love to all of you. Oh, email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. I'd love to hear your ideas, concepts, and who would you like to hear about? What paradigm shifters do you know, or are you one too? See you next week.